Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracou, Piedmont, and those of you listening across the Caribbean and the world at large. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Welcome to Inside Finance, and as you know, I always try to dig deep and look at what is happening in our country, and there is a lot to talk about, and today I have a very special guest with me. You don't have them often in the studio, but with me today is Minister Oliver Joseph, who is the Minister of Economic Development, Trade, Planning and Labour, and he'll be talking to us about what's happening with the structural adjustment. Started 3 years ago, where are we? What are some of the steps that have been taken? What are some of the things that we need to look at even as we come to the end of it? And as we know, they would have the last review coming sometime up to the end of July, somewhere around there. He'll tell us more about that. Take a word from our sponsors. We come back and I'll be talking to Minister Oliver Joseph, who is in the studio with me. Looking forward in talking with him today on Inside Finance.
Registration amnesty. Don't you ignore. Be secure. Registration amnesty. January to March, no penalty. Business owners, this one is for you. Are you registered with Inland Revenue? Don't be lucky and coward. Get registered.
For more information, contact us on 435-1905 or email us at gndird@ird.gd.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. Good to have you with me. In the studios with me is Mr. Oliver Joseph. Yes, the Minister in charge of Economic Development, Trade, Planning and Labour, the Honourable Minister. Good day to you, Minister.
Good day and thank you. It's a pleasure to be back in the studio. I find your program very informative to give the nation the facts as they are. And so I'm very pleased to be here today. And let me says pleasant good afternoon or good evening wherever you are, because people are listening all over the world.
Yes.
So just I want to wish you all the best for 2017.
Same to you. You've been here for quite a long time. You've been here 2016 and I haven't seen you since.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Now, how are you doing?
Well, personally, I've been very busy. As you see, the size of the portfolio and the largest constituency. So that has kept me very busy.
When are they cutting St. David in two? When are they making two parts?
I'm not sure. A commission had to be established to look into it. Not look into cutting St. David's, but look at the boundaries.
Right.
The boundaries commission.
The boundaries.
So they will do the whole island and then make a recommendation.
Of what will happen.
Of what should happen.
Should happen.
Yes.
How is government generally? How is government going?
Well, I see. Let me say, the experience in government for me as a first timer has been very rewarding, very challenging at times. But I'm pleased to be part of a team at this time in Grenada history where we have so many challenges to face, and a team that is committed, dedicated, and united in one voice and one common vision to solve the problem. I am happy about that.
So the cohesiveness of the government has been very helpful in the last 4 years.
Yes. You see, when you sit in cabinet, you have different ministries, and every minister wants the best for his ministry.
Right.
So it's always a battle. then, but you see, you have limited resources. So you have to allocate the scarce resources to get the optimal use. And if you do not have a strong leader, someone who can bring things together, at time you could have a total breakdown. But I must say that we have a strong leader with a lot of years of experience.
Yeah, he has been in politics over 30 years.
Yes, and 17 years as prime minister.
That long?
Well, you remember 13 years.
Yes, that's
when we
true.
Left, 4 years now. Coming back, 17 years as prime minister. Tells you the experience. Yes, and I have learned a lot from him, from his guidance, and he will call in the minister if he think you need to,
up your game. Look,
yes, yes, and he will tell you about it. And that has been very helpful.
I'm sure when you think about looking at the Honorable Prime Minister being in for 17 years, sometimes I'm sure you sit there and you see make a decision, and then you're wondering, well, I'm too comfortable with that decision. But then later on you realize, yeah, it was a good decision because he's doing it out of his wealth of experience.
But I would say that he allows every minister in cabinet to express their view, because it's, at the end of the day, you see how cabinet operates, it's collective responsibility. So if I disagree with something and I state my point, everyone, at the end of the day, whatever consensus emerge, that is what I have to go with as the minister, even if I have a different opinion. That's right. Just how the system works. Otherwise, I will have to resign. If I feel so strong about something and I want to go out to the public and take a different position, because that is not allowed in our system of government. You make a decision in cabinet, and every minister will have to go by that decision that at the end of the day, cabinet decides.
So you can disagree within cabinet. You can say you disagree.
Right.
But once you leave that room, there is a collective decision taken if you're going to go left or right.
Yes.
And despite if you agree or disagree, everybody need to go with the decision taken, the collective decision
That's
taken.
That's right.
Because
That's
it is collective responsibility.
It is, and there are good reasons for that. Because you don't want to go out with one minister saying something different to what you're saying.
Yes.
Because what they will say, the public will be confused. What really is the position of the government? So it is important that you go out there with one message. And we have very good discussions in cabinet. And I must say, this cabinet have different skill set, which brings a good balance. You have a medical doctor, you're a lawyer, you're an engineer, economist. If you look at the team,
yes.
Well wronged it.
A businessman.
Yes, all wrong. Well wronged it. And because of that, I think that has helped in making some good decision for this country.
Okay. Now, 3 years ago, we started our economic plan in terms of structural adjustment. A lot has happened. Talk to us about the steps, some of the failures and successes within the past 3 years, 4 years, really, of that plan.
So let me start by explaining why we needed a structural adjustment program. So we came into office in February of 2013, at a time when the government was facing a lot of challenges, to the extent where they were selling assets to pay salary. So when we came in and we look at the situation, we decided that we have to correct these variables, this economic situation quickly. And we had to do it quickly, because every month the government was operating on a deficit of $18 million.
Mm-hmm.
It means you're spending $18 billion more than you're collecting. So, for example, you're collecting $35 million and spending $53 million. Well, you know, as a businessman, no business could continue to do that. But government has the ability to borrow and so on, and they continue to do that. But that was unsustainable. So we had to correct the situation and take some immediate action. When we look at the debt situation again, the debt that we inherited, it was difficult to pay debt and meet your other recurrent expenditure at the same time, mm-hmm. without increasing revenue. So what we set out to do was to bring fiscal stability. That was the overriding objective. So we said, let us lay out a plan and ask the IMF for support of how we will go ahead achieving our targets.
Mm-hmm.
What we say is a homegrown structural adjustment program. Let me point out why we say that, because sometimes people say, you are calling it a homegrown program, but here the IMF telling you what to do. So let me point out the difference. The difference is we developed the plan. We set the macroeconomic targets. So for example, 70% of recurrent revenue went to paying wages, salaries, and pension every month. 70%.
70. So 70. So 70 there is cents 70 cents on every dollar.
That's
was
right.
Going to.
So you left with only 30 cents. And the previous government, to their credit, did admit that they hadn't had any room, because look, 70% of the money they're collecting, So it was a well-established fact. The IMF said to us, we need to get it down to 50% or under. And in order to do that, well, the quickest means of getting it is send them 2,000 workers, because if we reduce it, we said, this is our program. We will meet, let us agree on the targets. You set it at 50%, we will achieve 50% and not send them a single worker. So they said, well, okay, let us discuss how we will do it. We said, for every 10 worker that leaves the service, we'll only bring in 3. And we will increase the revenue that we're collecting. Because if you move from 25 million and your expenditure is 53, if we increase the revenue from 25 to 50 million, then we could, we could manage, right?
Then you manage, yes.
Exactly. So we said we will increase the revenue. So then we start looking at the tax measures. And luckily for Grenada, we had space, because we had one of the lowest income tax system in the whole of the CARICOM. Remember, only if you earn over $5,000 per month, you pay the income tax, you know.
Yes, that's
right.
True.
So we had space.
A lot of space.
Exactly. So we said, let us start looking whether we would bring it to 1,000, 2,000. That was the discussion then. 3,000, what level? You know? Mm-hmm. Now we did all the calculations and see. And then we said, let us put it at 3,000. Because we really want to give a ease to the man, the poor man, to get in 1,005. We don't really want to tax it.
Right. So you drop it from 5,000
to 3,000. Yes. So we have two bands. So 0 to 3, up to 3,000, you don't pay. Between 3,000 to 5,000, we introduce it at 15%. And over 5,000, we left it at the 30%. So that was what we did on the income tax side. Then we said, what other areas? We did not increase the VAT. The VAT remained at the 15%. So we left it there. And then we said, let us look at the tax collection, because government had a lot of money outstanding in taxes. So we say, what are the reasons for that? So we asked the IMF, our tax advisor, to examine everything. Why we collection rate is so low. And then we started putting measures in place to increase and the efficiency of the tax collection. And we started collecting more money because of these measures. And business started improving. And then, so customs start bringing in a lot more money. And VAT is a tax and transaction. So for we to be collecting more VAT, it means that you have more business transaction taking place.
Right.
So let me tell you something. That is on the revenue side. I'll come to the expenditure side. So on the revenue side, inland revenue and customs, for the entire year 2016, collected more money every month that was budgeted for that month. Every month.
Every month.
Every month. First, Dr. Mitchell, I said, first time. It is 30-something years in politics, you have witnessed that. Every month. He collected more money.
Than projected.
That budgeted.
That we put in the budget. Yes.
Yes. Now, every time we make that statement, people say, well, you have money now, so you could pay us. But listen, yes, they say that. They say, well, you're boosting or you're collecting more revenue. But, as you know, when you have a budget, we put that we're going to collect certain amount of money from the National Transformation Fund, and then we're going to get grants, which did not materialize. And we still have to do the projects.
Right.
So luckily, we had money from the recurrent side that we could put to do these projects. So it's not that you have extra money. In fact, we do not have enough money to do all the work on the capital side. We budgeted, for example, that the National Transformation Fund, that is under the CBI, we had said we're going to collect 100 million in the second year of the program. We collected 40-something million.
Less than half.
Yes. So the next year we said, let us drop our focus. We're too ambitious there. So we drop it to 60 million. Where we, by the third year, we are close to that. Now, grants, where we had budgeted, the amount of money we had budgeted to collect in grants, we did not get a grant because, let's face it, the countries in the world are going through hard economic times.
Yeah, most.
So, so you don't get the grants that you expect. So the money now from the recurrent side, from this revenue, what I spoke to you about, generated, we're able to use it to fill the gap. So if we were not performing good on the recurrent side, we'd be in real difficulty to deliver on the capital side of the project. So it's not like some people are saying, well, you have money, you're boasting your surplus, so you could pay us more money. No, what happened to the other program? So that is what we did on the revenue side. We start increasing. What we saw at the end, as a result of that, at the end of 2016, we saw a surplus, meaning on the recurrent side, that is,
right,
more than what we budgeted. And as I said, we were able to use it on the capital side. On the other hand, we look at the expenditure side. So while we increase in revenue, we say we must bring down expenditure. So we looked at non-personnel expenditure. Telephone, electricity, motor vehicle.
Right.
These things are non-personnel expenditure. And decide we will cut it by 20%. Now, remember, we come from a situation where we are spending more than we're earning.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in that, whether it's an individual, a household, or the government, you have to increase your revenue or cut your expenditure.
It's just the way that it
is. Yeah, it's just the way it is. So we did both. So an increase in revenue and a reduction in expenditure to help bring the fiscal balance. So we achieve the fiscal balance. As I said, we brought down. So the IMF said we must get it down to 50%, the percentage of recurrent revenue that we spend on wages, salaries, and pension. You know what we brought it to without sending home a single worker? 49%.
You met the target.
49%.
As of today.
As of today. That is what we
spent. 2017.
Yes. 49%. When we told the IMF we could do it, they did not believe. It is 49%.
Without sending home a single.
Without sending home a single worker.
Which was the first recommendation of the IMF.
Yes, yes. Well, that is a normal recommendation. You see, because countries will go to them for balance of payment, loans and things, and they will say, well, you're spending too much money on the public service. Cut your public service. Look, Barbados, what they did. Cut,
yes, you know,
thousands of workers. We did not have to do that. We said we could achieve it without sending. And that is one of the greatest achievements for me personally. That was one of the greatest achievements under the structural adjustment program, to achieve a target of 49% of your recurrent revenue towards wages and salaries without having to send home a single worker. And there are other big, big achievement that we got from the program. Now, the program, as we said, is 3 years, 14, 15, 16. The final review, because two reviews conducted each year, is taking place next week. We got the dates. Yeah, the team come in. They do middle of March.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they'll be in Grenada for the final review. Because six reviews. First five reviews, we pass all five. This is the final review. We have said to the population, at the end of every review, we will get funding. At the end of the first review, we got $108 million EC dollars.
On the first,
after the first review, we had estimated $100 million. You know, we came through because the European Union give us the grant money.
Mm-hmm.
When I spoke to the EU ambassador about the money, I said, well, the year is coming to an end. We have not received. He said, we are waiting on the report from the IMF from the first review to see how you are performing. As soon as the IMF released the report, the European Union sent the grant, the World Bank sent the money, CDB sent the money. It and the IMF, the tranche we have to get.
Everybody paid up.
Everybody paid up by the end of the year. I recall clearly when we were paying early for Christmas, because we're still talking about 2013. Mm. With things tight. Wondering how we're going to pay early. And we have to pay back pay to the public workers union members and teachers for the agreement that the previous government signed. We had to pay all this money. And I recall the EU money coming on the 20th of December.
Just in time.
Just in time, is it? So, we, because of the success, every review, it will go to the board, and then it is released. And it is this report that all the other financial agency, international agency, will use as the basis to determine whether they should provide you, whether it's grant or soft loan.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see the IMF as the having the expertise in that area. And so we have said, for this final review, We cannot do anything to damage the program. We have one review. We have some targets to meet. We have the Fiscal Responsibility Act that we must keep within. If we give any increase or any pay any amount of money that goes above the limit set by the Fiscal Responsibility Act, we can fail the last review.
Then you're in trouble.
At the end of the final review, we're going to get $60 million.
EC or US?
$60 million EC we're going to get.
Mm.
And for the debt, the creditors have promised after the completion of the program, if we successfully implemented all the program, they can look at further debt forgiveness, which can result in a further $400 million.
Wow.
Debt. So we cannot be careless as a government to go and do anything that will cause us not to pass the final review.
It's critical.
And of course, very, very critical. And that is the point that we keep making, that this final review, because of the resources that we have to get, we cannot just be careless and make commitments that will cause us not to meet our target.
Yeah, because I understand the union would want to get more money for its members, and that's fine, but government also has to protect its citizens from now going back on the promises you have made to these debtors and to the World Bank and IMF about the program that you have created in the past 3 years, and you have kept your side of the bargain for the last 3 years.
Yes, we have kept our side of the bargain. In fact, every forum you go to, Grenada is mentioned as a model for what we have achieved in 3 years. Every forum. I've been to the IMF Growth Forum. I've given to the World Bank, IMF Board of Governors meeting. Every forum, CDB, every forum, Grenada name is mentioned on every occasion in respect to our achievement in 3 years under the Structural Adjustment Program. So we have asked our people to make sacrifice, to pay a little more in taxes.
Mm.
We have asked them to understand the benefit is for the country. And everyone has made sacrifice. So when we're looking at who will benefit now, everyone must benefit.
Right. So for some thinking, now when the end of the review come, there are some things that government did say that they may have relooked if they're going to, like taxes, some of the things that was done. What are the plans for that?
Okay, when the final review is done in March, the board meets in June. When they go to the board, the report goes to the board. If we successfully pass everything, then we, as I said, we get $60 million and other benefit. After that, we'll conduct a thorough review of everything to see what more could we pay, could we give, what area could we make some concession in. But And that's a very interesting point. You know what the Conference of Churches have said to me? We have a committee called the Jubilee Committee. They said, Minister, you have to be careful that you do not make changes that will bring you back to the situation where you came from.
And that made a lot of sense. Well, that make a lot of sense.
They said, people asking for relief in taxes. They asking for more money. But do you want to go back after these 3 years, having achieved all of that, to go back now? I said, okay, well, we're outside of the program, so let's start borrowing now.
Then you borrow it back. Yeah, you just that so, do not make any sense.
Exactly. So that is the point we're making. We do not want to find ourselves in a position where we go back borrowing, so the debt start going up, where we increase the amount of money that pays towards wages, salaries, and so on. So we bring back up the percentage from 49, and it gone back up to 60. We said that in our target that we want to get a debt to GDP ratio of 60%. When we came in, the debt to GDP ratio was 110%. It is now 89%. And we're targeting to get it to 60, and by 2020 to 55%. To meet these targets, we have to remain disciplined in the fiscal sense and continue to get the understanding of people that we cannot go back to where we come from, because it makes no sense getting debt relief and then bringing back up the debt and bringing up the percentage of money that you spend on wages and salaries. And so we continue to manage the economy in a very prudent way. We agree on a 10% increase for all public sector workers union, 3% in 2017, 3% for 2018, 4% for 2019. We are offered $1,000 for the unions, for the sacrifice that they've made. The Grenada Union of Teachers, the Police Association, the prison have all accepted it. We are still, we have not yet concluded with the with TAU and PWU, so I wouldn't want to go into that, but that matter is still
pending.
It's still pending. Hopefully we can see a resolution shortly to the matter. But I must say that I, as an individual and as someone who just entered politics, I am very pleased to be part of the team that corrected the situation in Grenada. Mm-hmm. I am happy to see that I was able to make a contribution, a team that got us to where we are now. To especially, I have to come back to the point where we brought down the percentage of current revenue to wages salary to under 50, as was said, and keep bringing down the debt to GDP ratio to more in line with what we want it to be, and all the other things that we have achieved, and we are able to maintain all the social programs, the seed program, the public assistance program. You know, before, the IMF will tell you to cut out these programs because it costs you too much money.
Right.
And the Imani program that we're spending over $30 million on, they would have indicated to us that, well, you need to look at this program. You do not have the resources to spend all this money. And we say this is an investment in our youth and in the future. And we will continue to spend the money to train them. So when we collect the increase in revenue, we need to put it there. We need to spend more money because there are thousands of young people still at home waiting for an opportunity to train. And we need to have the money to spend on this program. If some people say we're wasting money, well, that's a good area to waste money on, by training people and giving them a skill. Because in the future, they are the ones that will benefit from it.
From it. It's Honorable Oliver Jones, the Minister of Economic Development, Trade, Planning and Labor. Before we go, when is the election?
I think you'll have to ask the Prime Minister of that one.
I guess that's a question everybody asking.
Well, we're in the fifth year. It's a five-year cycle.
Yes.
We complete 4 years already. We're into the fifth year, you know. Because on the 19th of February, we completed 4 years. So we're into the fifth year of a five-year
so
cycle.
So call anytime. Call
anytime, yes.
Anytime the ball could blow.
Yes, anytime.
Just quickly, what's about the economy generally? How is it doing?
Well, the economy, we have experienced growth for the last 4 years. Every year, an average of 3% growth in the economy. And the growth is coming from construction, tourism, agriculture, services. You know, St. George's University alone contributes 20% to the GDP.
Wow.
There are over 5,000 students living and spending here. They're living right here, you know. Sometimes we underestimate the contribution. 5,000, you know. The electricity bill for St. George's University, more than all them household in Grenada, you know. Households in Grenada pay $100. I pay $100 for electricity. You know what is their bill? You see the amount of buildings they have down there?
Yes.
They'll keep running. Their bill alone, more than all the households in Grenada.
In Grenada. Yes. A month.
A month. A household pay average $100.
$100, yes.
So, and the amount of buildings they have there to keep the AC going, the lab, right, the electricity, and so on. So, their contribution
is huge.
All the students shopping here in Grenada.
And renting vehicles and renting homes, apartment buildings, and you know, and then buying food
of
in the
course,
economy.
If we get our next big international university like St. George's, because they have some preliminary inquiries about setting up an institute to do study climate change and so on. If we get our next one that contributes about 10% to our economy, it means we'll be there on a solid footing. These two institutions contributing alone 30%.
I've seen a smile on your face. You look like you see something coming.
I'm very hopeful, and the amount of investors we are seeing coming in the tourism,
right,
the tourism sector. The economy is looking very good. We're very hopeful that by the end of the year we'll see the construction of our next hotel, and the agriculture sector is picking up good. Exports from the marketing board looking good. Fish export also on the increase. Mm. So yeah, the indicators are there to show that the economy is doing well.
Doing well.
And we're confident that 2017, the economy will grow again.
All right. Thank you so much, the Honorable Oliver Joseph, Minister of Economic Development, Trade, Planning and Labor. We're thankful for just updating us on what is happening in the economy. And I hope you wouldn't stay so long to come and sit and talk with me and to share what's happening with us. I wish you well as you prepare for what's ahead of you. And I wish you well in the economic review by the IMF that comes in a week or so. You'll have that.
Yes. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And you just have to invite me and I'll come.
Okay. All right. Well, now I know. Now I know. Yes. All right, folks, you've been listening to the Honorable Minister Oliver Joseph, and thank him for sharing. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. You can go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. This program will be uploaded there also. You can go to the Ministry of Finance website, and this program will be there. Thank you so much for joining us, and may God bless you as we continue to work together right here in Grenada to build this country and to be an effective and blessed nation, as God has given to us the opportunity to do so. Join me here next week at the same time. We do it all over again right here on this station. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.